Good morning, guys. You can continue that conversation straight after the service. We're going to do old school today, as Josh said. We're going to have coffee and tea. We have urn, sachets, you know. We don't have instant coffee. We have good coffee, so that's good. So for all of you in person, welcome. And online community, we welcome you. It's so good to see you here today and for you to join us. And you're well, you are safe. And I'm so glad that you can be here and join us this morning. Well, we've had such an eventful couple of days. This weekend has been eventful. As you know, Pastor Tony is not here. Pastor Cheryl is here representing. And Pastor Tony is not here because he's still infected with COVID. Please pray for him. He is so frustrated, but he's online. Hello. He's so frustrated and he really wanted to be here today. And he's been testing nearly every day because he was out of isolation of that 7 days. But this minute faint line is still appearing. So for the safety of everybody, he decided not to be here. And he sends his love and greetings to you all. So he tried to get here yesterday. So that was one. Tried to get here yesterday, but he couldn't get in because the road was blocked due to the wet weather conditions. So, you know, I don't know when it's going to be, you know, rising up, but that's the thing. You know, it's dangerous when you're out there, and so better to be safe than sorry. Yesterday, got a phone call from the police station and said, we've caught someone outside your property. We caught the offender and he is actually cut the copper piping on the wall, and so you have no water. And I'm thinking, great, there's like, how much more can you take? So this is where we are. So that's why the cafe's not on today, but we're having old school, we're having coffee and tea and biscuits, good biscuits, right? Arnott's biscuits, Tim Tams and all of those, for those of you who can stay, because I realise that some of you need to go home and so you can be safe, but all of that is that. But aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God is still here and God is still very much on the throne, no matter what's happening, no matter the weather, no matter everything that's happening around the world, God is still here. So I'm so glad about that. Just a few announcements before I get to the message this morning. I just want to say thank you to Matt Christie. Matt Christie, legend. He had to fix the piping so that at least we can have water, use the toilets today. So thank you so much. So at least we've got that sorted out. Also want to thank you to everybody who has donated the robes. As you can see, today is the last day that, you know, the donation of the robes that we've been campaigning about, and we're going to send them to the centre tomorrow. So if you haven't already done so, you have until 9:30 tomorrow to drop them in. So, but I think we've got about 35 robes, which is so excellent. And I'm so happy that we can do that today. So I just want to pray before we start the word this morning. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you that whatever's written in this sermon, Lord God, Father, that you are going to do a mighty work in people's lives this morning, Lord God. I thank you that your word will not return void, Lord God. It always produces fruit and it will accomplish whatever you've purposed it for, Lord God. So thank you. Thank you for your word. Anoint me today as I share your word this morning. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, life has dramatically changed for the last 2 years, right? I mean, if we all are reflecting in this season, our life has changed and turned upside down. I mean, a couple of years ago, I had more hair. A couple of years ago, I had, now I've got more stress lines on my forehead than I did 2 years ago. You know, our life has turned upside down. You know, our rhythm and routines is thrown out the window. It's been thrown out the window, and life has been and is in a rebuild phase for us all. Church was turned upside down. Church has been and is in a rebuild phase. I mean, we had to pivot very quickly and adjust to what we thought church was like to what it is today. And whether we like it or not, online is here to stay. So whether you're here in person and whether you're online today, God is not perturbed by the geographical location. He's still going to move. He's still going to minister to each and every one of us, because God looks at the heart. God looks at your hunger. And so even when you're online today, God is still going to minister to you, because that's who He is. His desire is to bless. His desire is to restore. And, you know, I was talking to God about this a couple of weeks ago, because I've got a few things happening here at church. And I said, God, I don't know what to do with everything that's going on in life and in my family and, you know, the things that are affected with my friends. And then I hear Him say, Marichelle, and when He calls me Marichelle, I just know, okay, listen up. Are you going to look at this as a disruption or an interruption? Or are you going to look at this as an invitation and an opportunity for you to grow deeper in your relationship with me? Because I have, you know, tendency to have a pity party with God and have an argument with God and say, why this, why me, and all of that sort of thing. You know, what if? And God just says, are you going to look at what's happening in our world and what's happening in your life and in your friend's life, in your family? Are you going to look at that as an interruption and a disruption, or are you going to look at that as an invitation for you to grow? And I want to encourage and ask you the same thing. You know, no doubt you'll have interruptions in your life and disruption, but are you going to look at that as an invitation for you to grow? As an invitation for you to grow deeper in your relationship with God, to dig deeper and to lean in. And so, you know, God wants us to move our life forward. And to move life forward, there's got to be some stretching. And in the stretch, there's going to be some growing pains. And so, as you know, moving life forward has been our theme for the last few years. And I don't think we're ever going to move out of that. But moving life forward is about you moving life forward and you're not being stuck. So we're going to start a series, a three-week series called Choose Life. And I get to the privilege and I get to kick this off the first week, and hopefully Pastor Tony will be back next week. So choosing life is what we all need to be doing. Choosing to live in the blessing and the favor of God that He gives us each day. Because, you know, God gives us favor. God gives us blessing each day, but we just need to see it that way. We need to choose that way. And so living full of gratitude for the moment we are in, we need to choose to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind and strength. Living full of gratitude for the opportunity God gives us to rebuild life. So, you know, we're all in a season of reimagining, resetting, restoring, rebuilding. And can I add to that is that remaining. Some of us need to remain. And God, when we look at the scriptures and the Bible, you know, these seasons are a popular season and a theme in the Bible. Seasons where God's people needed to realign with God and His ways to move life forward. So I'm going to read to you a passage of scripture that I've kind of highlighted today, so for the preface of what we're going to talk about. And it's in Deuteronomy. But God's people were in a season of redirection, and Moses gave them this advice. And I want you to take note, the spirit of the text, where it says, restore, bless, and increase. Deuteronomy 32, it says, "If at that time and your children return to the Lord your God, and if you obey with all of your heart and all of your soul all the commands I have given you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes. Then he will make you even more prosperous and numerous than your ancestors. The Lord your God will then make you successful in everything you do." Take note, right? He wants to restore, he wants to increase, to make us more prosperous and to be successful in everything we do. That's God's heart. That's God's heart for us. And so Moses is explaining these things to the people, them that they need to make a choice to choose the God life. That God's heart is to do good things for us. That God's heart is to bless, to strengthen, and to restore. That God's heart for us is to move life forward. Continuing on to verse 11 where it says, "This command I am giving you today is not too difficult for you, and it is not beyond your reach." No, the message is very close at hand. It's in your lips and it's in your heart so that you can obey it. Verse 15, "Now listen. Today I am giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands, decrees and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and occupy." Verse 20, you know, says today. Everyone says today?
Today.
Everybody has a today. Now, today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, and so that you and your descendants might live. You know, this is the key to the God life. God has given us eternal life, but it's up to us to choose it. The choice is life or death, blessings or curses. You know, we are faced with choices and options every day. You made a choice to come to church today. Now, I Googled this. Did you know, according to Google, that we make 35,000 conscious decisions per day? Now, arguably, whether it's cited, whether that's true, but that's a lot of decisions. That's a lot of decisions. How many choices have you made just by getting up today? You made a choice to come today. You made a choice to come here despite the weather conditions, and you made a choice to get up and show up and suit up. You made a choice to watch online today. You know, you made a choice that you and I, you know, have been given a free will. And a multitude of choices in life on what to eat, what to wear, what to buy, you know, who to vote for, you know, what to purchase. But each choice carries a certain consequence. Choices determine your future. Right now you're making a choice to switch off, whether you're going to listen to me or not, or whether you're going to go to the toilet or, or it's a choice. To do or not to do, to obey or not obey, to say or not to say, to love or not to love, to follow or not to follow, to forgive or not forgive. We are faced with many choices each and every day. So, but God gives us the opportunity to choose life. Every day is a choice to choose a blessing. Every day is a choice to greet each day with gratitude. Every day is a choice to live a life full of I get to, not do I have to attitude. So the first thing I want to say this morning as my first point is this. The choice for life starts deep inside of you. Starts with connecting with Jesus. It's learning to love God with all of your heart. Learning to abide in Jesus, learning to abide in the vine, to be connected in the vine and the life that he has for you. Notice Moses said this in Deuteronomy verse 14. No, the message is very close at hand. It's in your lips and it's in your heart so that you can obey it. So what does that mean? It's on your lips and it's in your heart. This means our chatter and our thoughts are a key to the God life. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. It's not on the screen, but Matthew 12:34 says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I wonder today, what are you speaking? What are you declaring? What is in your heart that overflows? Because you know what? It's so easy. Like today, like we were driving to church and I see all the water coming and rising up again. And I nearly said, but I didn't. I chose not to say it. Oh no, this is happening again. I can't stand this, you know. I don't want to be locked in. I start this chatter that comes in very, very quickly. And you have to choose each day. Are you going to speak life or are you going to speak death? So it's in the mouth. It's in our heart. You know, the choice for life continues with the conversations we have with ourselves and about ourselves, about how weak we are, how we can't do this or can't be this, or, you know, I'm not good enough, or no, someone else is good enough. No, you're not going to be loved. You're going to be always alone. No, you're not going to get a job. No, it's all of this chatter. You know, we can't serve because of this, because, you know, I can't buy a house because I have not enough money, not enough deposit. No one will want me. No one will love me. You know, I'll never get a girlfriend. I'll never get married. I'll never get a boyfriend. All of this sort of stuff. Like, seriously, it's the things that we talk about ourselves and about ourselves. You know, you have silent sermons that you preach yourself every day. You have a silent sermon. You know, it's not the sermon that I preach to you today that determines the course of your life. It's a sermon that you preach to yourself. Negative and limiting internal dialogue that lets death through the door in your core. That's what happens when we process in a negative way. We talk ourselves out of the God opportunities for life to move forward. This week, I want you to do a checklist. Before you open your mouth to yourself or to others, do this quick checklist. Is it true? Is it kind? And is it necessary? That's a good thing. That's a good checklist. An application for you this week. Is it true? Is it kind? And is it necessary? When we choose life, our self-talk, when we choose life, our self-talk, our internal dialogue flips to be life-giving. You begin to build a reservoir of life inside. You build your God life on the inside, a reservoir of confidence and a gratitude and joy, a reservoir of life that radiates in every area of your life. That's why it's so important to meditate on God's Word, to spend a little bit of time in the morning when you get up to read the Word of God, to consume it, and not just be a consumer of the world, but be consumer of God's Word in your life. You know, it gives us a sustenance, some soul food, and so when the trials and tribulation comes, you can proclaim the promises of God. You know, you need to give voice to the life you want to live. So when the storms of life comes, you can regurgitate what you've meditated on. And you can say, no, it is written. It is written. When we feed our soul with negativity about ourselves, others, or life, it takes us to places we don't want to go. It makes us someone we don't want to be. And, you know, we become cynical, we become bitter, we become resentful. And that's not who God's called us to be. We are called to be children of light. We're called to be children of God that have life-giving instruction to give out to people, to sustain the weary. It takes intentional daily choices to choose life you want and deserve. The moment you wake up, before you take that sip of coffee, before you put your feet on the ground, make a choice. Make a daily choice to choose the God life.
Yeah, great. Good.
To choose joy when there is nothing to be joyful about. To choose gratitude when there's no, when you want to complain. To express life when life is hard. To live positively when surrounded by negativity. To suit up, to show up when you want to hide. To smile when you are empty. To be an encourager when you lack support. To be generous when you have nothing left. Because, you know, generosity is not about what you give. It's who you are. It's to invest in others regardless of what you feel. Being healthy and happy demands we lead ourselves inside out. If the way you are thinking is not producing the life you want, then change it. Change the way you're thinking. Choose to change the inner script, the narrative that you keep talking about. We have the power and the authority to do that. We know, you know, this is the thing. We know the promises of God, right? We know that they are powerful. But I want to ask you, is it personal? Is the promises of God personal to you? God gives us revelations of who He is and who we are in Him. And this revelation requires a response. The response is, God, no matter what's happening, I trust You. No matter whether my life is a mess and I'm in the middle of a mess, in the middle of my moment, I trust You. You know, when COVID first hit my mind and heart and spirit, I went straight to Psalm 91. What does it say? What does it say? Those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And this I will say of the Lord, He is alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God and I trust Him. Psalm 91 is a very good psalm for you to grab a hold of, to get a grip of when the things and the torrents of life and the traumas of life come to consume you. This psalm helped me with my belief system. It was my expectation. It was life-giving to me, but I had to choose it. It fueled me, it fed me, it led me. It kept me strong when things looked and felt weak. I had to say to myself, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. There's a song about that. But let the weak say, when you feel weak, when you feel like you've got nothing left, the strength of God is within you. It kept me anchored when times are tough and focus on the belief that the best is yet to come. And I know that becomes a cliche, but it is. Because the best is yet to come. We win. We win. God wins. We have the victory. And I refuse to believe that the God I serve has taken me out from here to take me to here and then not only to put me backwards. I refuse to believe that. Like, God is not a backward God. He's always moving forward. He wants us to move forward with him. It's just our mind and our heart and our speech go backwards. But God is not like that. We choose to live a life that God has given us. We choose the God life one day at a time. You know, we're still going to have sorrows. We're still going to have challenges. We're still going to have tears. But we choose life, because that's what life does and brings to us. But in it all and through it all, we can choose life. You know, Jesus didn't leave heaven and die for our sins for us to live miserable lives. Who can attest to that? He didn't die for that. Jesus didn't come to put burden on our backs. Jesus came to lift the burdens and to bring a blessing. Jesus came for a blessed life, an overcoming life, a life full of power and authority. Jesus gives it when we choose it. John 10:10 says this: the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Everyone who chooses life receives life. Whoever chooses freedom receives freedom, and whoever chooses blessing receives blessing. The power is in the choice we make, life or death, blessing or curses. Our heart and our lips either have a message of life and death. Second point I want to talk about today is that choosing life means agreeing to disagree. Do you know you will never agree with anyone with everything? It's not a sin to disagree, but it's a sin to live a disagreeable life and a disagreeable spirit. A disagreeable spirit will destroy the life and the opportunities of life that God has given you. A disagreeable spirit will destroy relationship, connections, and community. To be disagreeable means to be negative, resistant, and argumentative. Don't live expecting to agree with everything with everybody. This includes your spouse, your partner, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, whatever it is, with your friends, with your co-workers, with your boss. You know, maturity is being able to hold the tension of different perspectives. That's maturity. You know, I got a tip for you. Next week, I'm going to celebrate my anniversary. And give you a tip. You don't have to attend to every argument that you are presented to and you're presented with. Let me repeat that. You don't have to attend to every argument that's been presented to you or that's been presented with. You know, Daryl is the most patient person that you will ever meet. He's calm and he's gracious. Unlike me, I get a bit edgy, you know. I get a bit, you know, what's this word? Cantankerous? It's a big word, eh? So I get a little bit kind of like, yeah. So I pick. I go, why is this not done? Why is the washing like, oh, like I just pick at anything because, you know, I just do that. And more often than not, he just keeps going on his phone, looking at his phone and just ignoring me. And, you know, pet peeve of a woman, ignoring, like, you know, and I go, are you listening? Like, are you actually, like, listening to what I'm saying to you? I said, yeah. And, like, he doesn't attend to the argument I've presented him with. Wise man. Because he knows that's not going to go anywhere. Another tip for you. When you are arguing, there's a deeper longing behind that argument. It's not about the argument. It's about the longing that's presented. So God gives us the ability that even in our disagreement, we can still choose life. Even in moments of frustration and anger, you can still choose life. Even in your arguments, you can still choose life. Even whatever moments you find yourself in, you can still choose life. Choose to live a life that's in agreement. This will keep life flowing in your soul and will keep life flowing in your relationships and connections. You know, the pandemic season became a season of argument, disagreement, and opinion for many. Some allowed the season to be to make it to be a disagreeable to with everyone and everything. Disagreeable to the point of separation. Relationships and connections and commitments changed for many. But we need to choose to live a life that remains in unity. Because this is where God's blessing is found. You know, if you look in Psalm 133, it says, "How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. There the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting." You know, unity or harmony doesn't mean we don't have a different views on things or a different opinions on things. It just means that we have chosen a spirit of unity. It means we have chosen a spirit of agreement. Choosing life means we have chosen to respect, to love, and honor at all times. Fighting with others is not an option. Hating on others is not an option. Demeaning others is not life-giving. Choosing life means you are life-giving in the way you interact with others. That's how you choose life. How are you interacting with others? The third and final point I want to bring to you today is that don't wait until everything is perfect to choose life. You don't have to have it all together to choose life. You don't have to have all the answers, but you can start today to sow the seeds of life, to start speak words of life, to start to think the thoughts of life. It all starts with small steps. Don't wait until you are perfect to choose life. Choose life and choose to be life-giving today. You can choose life in the middle of your failure, in the middle of your mess, in the middle of your moment. You can choose life in the middle of your frustration. You can choose life in the middle of stress and turmoil. In your fear, choose life. In your doubts, choose life. When life's not working, choose life. Whatever moment you are in, choose life. Is it clear enough for you today, church, to choose life? You can change your script, your narrative, your internal dialogue about who you think you are. Flip the script from negative to positive. You can start speaking God's word in your core. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Let's say that all together now. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Teach your core to be thankful and to have a spirit of gratitude. You've got to lead from within. Because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Don't allow, this is the thing, and this is a word for somebody here today and online. Don't allow what's not working in your life to destroy the life that God has given you. Don't allow what's not working to destroy the life God has for you. Choose life today by pushing back on the negative circumstances and the forces of life. Choose life today by making the message on your heart and your lips be that one where I choose God to trust and to trust Him and His words. So today, we're going to take communion today. And if you're online, you know, if you haven't already done so, have your juice and your crackers ready, and can I have the service team distribute the emblems, please? You know, I was thinking about communion, how sacred and special this time is for us. When I think about communion, when Jesus cried out these words, the second last word, he said, "It is finished." It was finished in the past, it's still finished in the present, and it will remain finished in the future. And I took a note of this because when he said that, he didn't say, "I am finished," which means he died exhausted and defeated. That's not the case. He said, it is finished, meaning the work that God has sent him to do has been completed. And the work is for us to have eternal life, to be that bridge, that gap, to restore. That's why Jesus came, so that your sins and my sins can be forgiven, so that we can live a life that God has intended for us. It's the Savior's final cry of victory. When he died, he left no unfinished business behind when he said, "It is finished." And he chose life for us. I wonder today where you are at in your relationship with God. Do you need to choose life, or are you going to continue to choose death? This biscuit and this juice is a life-giving salvation and freedom for us. Why don't we all stand? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that as we hold the emblems in our hand, this biscuit that represent your body, Lord God, that you've given for us. Thank you that it represents that the brokenness of the relationship because of our sin has been restored. Thank you for this. In Jesus' name, let's take it. Juice that we hold in our hand, Lord God, is a representation, a symbol of your blood that was shed on that day at the cross of Calvary. Thank you, Lord God, that your blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you, Lord. We take it now. We're still standing, and before we take a moment of worship, I want to ask of you today, and it'll be amiss of me not to say this. You know, Romans 10 verse 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, then you will be saved. I wonder what confession you need to make this morning to be in right relationship with God. for our online community, I want to ask you today whether you would choose life, whether you would choose Jesus to be not only to be your Savior, but to be the Lord of your life, because there's a difference. Jesus came just not to save, but to give you eternal life, and that's by choosing Him to be your Lord and Savior. So while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I want to give you an opportunity today to be right with God. To be right with God. And we're going to say a prayer this morning. We can all say that today. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose on the third day. I turn from my sins and I invite you to come into my heart and my life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer, and that prayer is not a magic formula, but it's a confession of your mouth and the belief that you have in your heart, then I want to invite you to just come and see me straight after the service, and I want to give you a Bible and talk to you more about the next steps of following Jesus. And for the people online, if you have prayed that prayer and said yes to Jesus, just type it on the comments and one of our teams will come and follow up with you. So this morning, you've said yes to Jesus. Let's live a life. Let's choose the life that God has given for us. Let's choose life instead of death as an encouragement for us this week. Why don't we just sing this song now as a moment of worship? Can we lean in? Can we lean in?
And everybody will be lifted in His presence. Every trouble.
us today. Thank you to our online community. Be blessed this week. You know, Connect Group is in this week, so make sure you contact your leader to make sure that it's on. And, you know, guys, let's just connect. And Food Outlet is open. But why don't we just take some moment to say hello to each other and fellowship outside. Thank you, guys. God bless you.